When I was asked by Mr. Palmer if I would speak on the subject of forgiveness, he also asked if I would have an object lesson for the young people. So if the little ones want to go out, that's fine. The older ones can stay in. But that was the plan. Okay. If everybody else wants to go out, that's okay too. All right. We're just about settled. Okay. Okay, no, you're staying here, kids. Okay, I guess we're ready. Girls, eyes up front. My subject is to be on forgiveness, and there's a couple verses of Scripture that I would like to share just before we have a little object lesson and then continue with our lesson. When someone asked me to speak about forgiveness, the very first thought that came to my mind was Luke chapter 7, where the woman was forgiven much. And as I think of her, I truly have been forgiven much as well. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 that says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Then we read the verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 8 from the New King James, "But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." One more verse from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. Now when we are forgiven of our sins, that's if you are forgiven of your sins, what you have is eternal security. You have eternal life, and you can know that you have it. Now, the object lesson that I'm going to give is one that I've given before. But before I start the object lesson, I want three people at least to give me a verse that tells them they know they are saved. Not just to think you're saved or hope you are saved, but to know that you have eternal life. Real quickly, because thank you, John.
John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, who shall believe in him, and not perish, but have everlasting life."
Now, what part of that verse, Mr. John, tells you you have eternal life?
He gave his only begotten Son.
That's what he did. "But whosoever believes," if you believe, then you can have eternal life. Someone give me another verse of eternal security. Quickly. 1 John 5:13. Very good, Philip. Another one?
Romans 8:38-39.
Good. Now, eternal security is a great thing. Thank you, Chris. And to know you're saved, oh, listen, that's a marvelous thing, to know that you're forgiven. It should be balanced, or it is balanced, by parental chastening. Because from the first verse that I read, "Whom the Father loves, he corrects," or "he chastens." He's going to correct you because He loves you. And that's got to be kept in balance. And therefore, if we're saved and we're saved by grace alone, does that mean that I can live as I please? All Scripture must be kept in balance. Now, I want to remind you of the fact that there was a man that in the Old Testament by the name of Lot. He knew God as his own personal Savior. But you see, that man did not live for God. And as a result, every day, his righteous soul was vexed. That means he was troubled every day. And if you're not troubled about your sin, when you sin, then you need to ask yourself the question, am I really saved? Some people might think they're saved. They might hope they're saved, but they really don't know they're saved. Now, many people are living today for pleasure only. But then there's more thoughtful people in this here earth who are thinking, and they got the idea that what you need to do is get the best of education, get the best job. If companies that will offer retirement funds or medical and dental insurance, anything that will take the center letters out of the word life. What are the center letters? I-F. If. If. Out of life. In other words, what they're saying, if I have so much, I'll be all right. And they're looking for the security, not from the Lord, but from what things can be provided for on this earth. But the Lord says, I'll give you eternal life, and I'll meet your every need. And so that's why we have that verse where it says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Okay, right now I need two volunteers. Maybe somebody over here that will give me a volunteer. Will you give me a volunteer? Okay, you come along, Melissa and Joshua. Well, that's good. Okay, Melissa, quickly. Good. That's what we're going to do. Melissa, you can stand on this side. Josh, you can stand on this side. What I want both of you to do is to take your hands like this, okay, and fold them around and cup them. Okay, see, bring it right, that's right, bring it back, right back here, and cup the hand, okay, good, cup the hand, cup it, okay, that, right, that, no, open up, see, you're going to cup, put your fingers in like that, because you aren't used to cupping, okay, good, all right, now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put something into your hand, Melissa, and what you're going to do is you're going to just close up your hands, not look at it. And then we'll open it in a minute. Okay, there you are. Fine, all right. And Josh, I'm going to do the same with you. I'm going to put something into your hands, and I'm going to let you close it up as well. Okay, all right. There you are. Good, all right. Now what I want you to do, Josh, you stand right over here, and Melissa, you stand on this side so they can see you. And Josh, what I want you to do is to count on this tray, one at a time, what you got. Go ahead. On the tray.
5, 10, 15.
Josh, we're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10. You got 10 what?
Pickles.
10 nickels. Now, John, if you have 10 nickels, how much money would you have?
50.
You're right. Okay. All right. So, John, do that with your hands again. I'm going to put this back in your hands. Come on. Cup them. That's good. Now, be sure you got it all. Okay. Good. There you are. Hold your hands. Okay. Melissa, you're going to count on the tray what you got loud so they can hear you.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
So how much money you got, Melissa? 50 cents. Okay, now Melissa, up your hands, and I'm going to do that with you too. Oh, Melissa, we got to catch them all. You, that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Okay, good. Fine. All right. Now, John, how much money do you have?
50 cents.
Melissa, how much money do you have?
50 cents.
Now, Melissa, do you think you have 50 cents? Do you hope you have 50 cents, or do you know you got 50 cents?
I know.
You know you got 50 cents. What about you?
I know I have 50 cents.
You got 50 cents. All right. Now, what we're going to do right in this little object lesson, okay, what I'm going to do, Josh, I'm going to take something from you and give it to Melissa, all right? Are you ready? Now, you're going to hang on to yours. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I got this. You feel the cold? You're not feeling good? You're all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got this. Are you ready, Melissa?
Yeah.
Here it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good. Oh, thank you for opening that little crack. Thank you, Melissa. Good. Okay. And are you ready, Josh? I'm going to take another one right from the bottom. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Did you feel that one? Is he all right, Grandma? Okay, now watch. Here you are. You got it, Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. You got it. Now what I'm going to do is take one more from you. Okay, ready? Right from the middle. Good. Did you feel that one?
Nope.
Josh, now watch this. Melissa. Good. Right there. Now, Josh, what do you think? Do you have 50 cents? Do you hope you have 50 cents, or do you know you have 50 cents?
I think I have 50 cents.
Oh. You're not sure what you got, eh? Melissa, what about you?
I think I know.
You think you know? What do you know? You know you got 50 cents. Do you think you got more than 50 cents? You don't think you got more than 50 cents?
No.
All right. Now, Josh, what we're going to do is we're going to see what you got. Do you know, Josh, there's people out in this room, right here, who think they have eternal life. They think that. They think they've been forgiven and they've got eternal life. They think that, but they really don't know that. Let's see what you got. All right. Reel out.
One. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah! You thought, Josh, you had it. Do you know there's people in the audience who think or hope they have eternal life, and they really don't? Oh, Josh. That's a sad thing, is to think you've got something, and you really don't have it. You thought you had it, but you don't, okay? Over here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, you got it. Now, you see, the thing is, you can have it. Because God has promised to give eternal life to those who take it. And you know, kids, I forgot to bring something for you, but I didn't. Anyways, we can get that again. I'll give it to you, okay? All right? But thank you for helping me, and you can take your seats. And at this time, right now, do you know that song, Oh Say, But I'm Glad, I'm Glad? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, while you are taking your time to go to your classes, we'll just maybe sing that chorus, Oh Say, But I'm Glad, I'm Glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus has come in my run. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Let's try that once more, because we can be glad if we know that we're saved.
Oh, say that I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say that I'm glad.
We're going to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 for our reading for this morning. Luke chapter 7, and beginning at verse 35. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they sat, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. We'll just have a word of prayer. Father, again, as we thank you for all that you have done for us, and as we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can know that we're forgiven, I pray very strongly for those in this room who have never come to put their trust in your blood. And Lord, again, we thank you for the fact that we can know that we're saved, that we can know, not just think or hope. So bless the word, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It has been often observed of the Lord Jesus as he traveled from place to place that he was the friend of the publicans and the sinners. And of course, when they observed the fact that he was a friend of the publicans and the sinners, that was in criticism of the Lord Jesus. But to us, oh my, the fact that he is a friend of the publicans and the sinners, why to us, that's one of his greatest glories, that he has a concern for us. Now, remember the words of Matthew, that he was very strong in what he had to say. I want to read a verse or two from Matthew chapter 21 and starting with verse 31, where it says this, Matthew 21 and 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Then said he, they said unto him, the first, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before us. Now, they didn't care for what the Lord Jesus had to say when he talked about that. And Jesus said, yes, they will go before you. Now, the biggest problem for most people to be forgiven is to admit that they're a sinner. That's a difficulty for each and every one of us. We don't like to admit that we have done wrong. We don't want to say that we have sinned, and that's very difficult for everyone to do that. But to be forgiven, we need to confess our sins. We've got to do that. And so the thought that Christ was was a fraud was increased when they observed the kindness that he had to this woman that we just read about. In fact, why? If he is who he says he is, why would he allow all these women and men follow him who are of ill repute? Why would he do that? Well, the fact is, they were forgiven, and they wanted to follow him. Oh, and the Lord wanted them to do that. Now, they also were very puzzled at the Lord Jesus. Because, you see, when the Lord Jesus preached, he had very high standards. Like, take, for instance, the verses from Matthew chapter 5. I'll read it in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thine right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I mean, the Lord was very strong in his thinking. And as he said that to them, they were puzzled about that because he had such high standards, and yet all these immoral people followed him. But as I said, they were forgiven. Now, as our story opens in verse 36, we read that a Pharisee by the name of Simon desired, or invites, or as another translation has put it, begged him to enter into his house and to eat with him. And so the Lord Jesus accepted the invitation. And as the meal was progressing, all of a sudden the door opened. And as the door opened, in walked this notorious woman. Everybody in town knew what kind of a life she lived. And she walked in and made it straightway right over to the feet of the Lord Jesus, stood behind him, and then fell down and began to wash his feet. She made no apology at all for her entrance. No. She intruded, it's true. But she knew, without even being told, that Jesus made her free to come. She knew that. She knew that the Lord Jesus would be pleased to have her draw near. And so we find that everyone knew her lifestyle, but she wasn't like the Greeks who came to Philip, as you remember. And they said to Philip one day, take us to the Lord. Show us the Lord. Well, she didn't ask to want to see Jesus. She came and saw Jesus. She didn't even ask for an invitation to come. She knew that the Lord wanted her to draw near. Now, some have confused this woman with Mary of Bethany. But may I say this, that Mary of Bethany is not the same person. Mary of Bethany was not a notorious sinner like this woman. Neither was a Mary of Bethany when she came. We don't read, although she anointed the Lord, that she did not wash his feet with her tears. No, what we read about her, when she anointed the Lord, she brought what was for his burial. She had enough insight to understand that he was going to die. And so it's a different Mary altogether. But as this woman came, Simon was annoyed by seeing this woman in his house. And then he was flabbergasted to think that this one would come to the Lord, and he watched her. And as she came and stood behind him and then dropped down at his feet, she began to weep. And as she wept, her tears fell down on his feet. Now, I don't know for sure, but she might have been a bit embarrassed about that, that her tears were on his feet. So she took her hair and she wiped the feet of the Lord Jesus. Well, many women couldn't do that, but she could. She had that long flowing hair, and she wiped the feet of the Lord. And then we find that she began to kiss his feet. Then Simon saw to his amazement what she was doing, and he couldn't figure it out why she would be kissing his feet. And then she watched as she took that box that she had and she anointed the feet. It all happened so quickly, and Simon thought to himself, if he is a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman she was. Oh, not only was he a prophet that knew what kind of a woman she was, but he also knew who he was and what kind of a man he was. So we read that verse in verse 39 where it says, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, it is absolutely true, my friends, that this man, Simon, knew that a sinner would not touch him, for nothing that was sinful would defile him. But you see, the Lord Jesus had already forgiven her. This isn't the first time that she came, as it were, to know about the Lord. This woman already was forgiven when she came. And so he felt that he was okay. Not that he thought that he was sinless. You know, Simon didn't think that he was sinless, but you see, what he was doing is he was comparing himself with the woman. Notice a verse over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Several years ago, I asked the young people to give me a verse that meant something to them that week. This is a verse that Wendy Goodyear came up with when she was just a teenager. And I always have connected this verse with her. And she's now Mrs. House. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. An excellent verse. Here was this here man beginning to compare himself. Simon didn't take in that the Lord Jesus was the Savior. He didn't take it in. He didn't understand who it was. Now, religion, and he was religious. He was a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, no doubt he could quote the first five books of the law. But you see, they take a moderate view of sin. he was not a child of wisdom, as verse 35 says. No. Wisdom is justified of all her children. He found ignorance where the woman, what did she find? She found grace. And wisdom, yes, she was called a child of wisdom. Wisdom was not justified by him. It was unseen and denied. This man, if he were a prophet, he would understand what kind of a woman this was. So Jesus said to him, I have somewhat to say to you, Simon. You see, Simon is going to hear that the Lord's going to talk about a comparison too. But he does it in such a loving manner, and he says there were two debtors. And as we read the story, we found out that one owed 500, the other owed 50. And both were in debt. They were bankrupt. Now, it's true, my friends. There's a big difference if you owe 500 or if you owe 50. Yes, there's a big difference, but the principle of bankruptcy is exactly the same. Doesn't make any difference if you owe 500 or 50. You're both bankrupt. And if you can see sin like that, it would be very good for us to notice that, you know, the sins of the immoral and the sins of the respectable are both bankrupt. Yes, we're no different from those who have lived an immoral life. We have sinned. We cannot pay the debt. We can't do it. And we need to look at it that way, that but for the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, listen, God's grace has kept me. Now, you know, we class some sins as really filthy. That's how we look at it. We class some sins as filthy, but listen, if we talk about a speck of dirt, or if we talk about a ton of dirt, it's still dirt. You can't change it. Sure, there's a difference in the quantity and the amount, but if you're a sinner, you're a sinner. You can't change that. You're in debt. And Paul, what did he say? He said he was the chief of sinners. Yes. You know, when I got saved, I have said this before, it wasn't because of the love of God that I got saved. I knew as a kid that I was a sinner. Oh, yes. Nobody had to teach me how to do it. And so, you see, I had a fear of God. It was not the love of God that drew me to salvation. I've always enjoyed that verse where it says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Yes. You see, Noah was moved by fear, so was I. It's not the love of God that moved me. Oh, listen, it wasn't until later that I really appreciated the love of God. It was the fear of God. I knew I was headed for hell. And I want to share with you, my friends, that's where you're headed. If you've never put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I was a child when I made that decision to receive Christ. But you know, it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I realized how rotten I was. Rotten to the core. There's not one thing that I couldn't do if the opportunities were right. You know, and I saw myself that way. And that's still the same, my friends. I'm no good. The flesh that's in me is rotten like the flesh that's in you. We have all sinned, and that's a problem with people. Some people never want to admit that they are sinned. that they have sinned. And if you haven't been willing to admit that, then you're not going to get the forgiveness that God wants to give. You got to confess your sins. And if you confess them, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. So we find that he was comparing himself, and so the Lord tells the story, and he says to Simon, now these two people who are in debt, when the creditor set them free, who will love them most? Well, Simon said, to whom was forgiven most, he will be the one that will love most. And right away we find that the Lord Jesus said, you have rightly judged. Yes, the Lord gave him credit for that, but then he begins to apply the story. Now, what had Simon done? Simon had just entertained the Lord. He was there at his house. He was religious. He made a feast for him, a supper, provided for the Lord, did what he thought was right, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And as you see how he is speaking, you recognize that he didn't have too much of a heart that welcomed the Lord. For as the story progresses, why, the Lord shows the difference, how his welcome wasn't like the welcome that the woman gave. She was forgiven in her heart. She was forgiven. And so she loved much because she was forgiven. Now, it wasn't that Simon didn't know about forgiveness. He did. Come on. Simon was a Pharisee. Simon not only knew about forgiveness, Simon also taught about forgiveness. That's what the Pharisees would do. They would teach about it. But although he knew about it and although he taught about it, he was still trying to work his way to heaven. He was still trying to work. He was entertaining the Lord. He was trying to do good things. He really did not truly know what it meant to be forgiven. And you know, that's true. A lot of people can have the head knowledge. There could be people right in this room. You could have a head knowledge thinking you are forgiven when you're not. You see, you've never asked for it. And if you don't ask for it, you don't have it. So you see, it wasn't that this man didn't know about it. Now, it was not her love. We want to make that clear. It was not the love of the woman that gave her forgiveness. It was her faith that gave her forgiveness. For that very last phrase, thy faith hath saved thee. It was her faith, not her love. But it's because she was saved, because she was forgiven, that we find that this woman, yes, had eternal life. Now, Jesus said to this man, Simon, seest thou this woman? Now, look at it. If the Lord draws attention to a woman that we are to look at, then there's got to be something worthwhile to see in the woman. You know, God is, who the Lord Jesus is see this woman. He certainly doesn't tell us men to go looking at everything that walks down the street with a skirt. But here is a woman that Simon was to look at. Now let's just look at a few features and then I'll finish up next week because my time is going. The first thing is to note her heart. What kind of a heart did she have? She wept at his feet. The heart was deeply moved. Yeah, the first thing is she wept. See her heart. Then we want to see her eyes. For she washed. Not only did she weep, but she washed his feet with tears. They oftentimes in those days, they had what they call a tear vial to collect tears. But here, she just wept and washed his feet. So we find that he was to look at her head. What did she do with her head? She wiped his feet. So we see the heart, we see the eyes, we see the head. She wiped his feet with the hair of her head. Her glory, she laid at his feet. Now, we know that the woman is the glory of the man, and also we know that God has given the woman an extra glory. Now, what you girls do with your glory, that's up to you, okay? Some cut it off, put it in the waste paper basket, but nevertheless, the hair of the woman is still their glory. I'll never forget an 89-year-old woman that I met some years ago, and I came to visit her, and she just came out of the hospital, and she said to me, "Brother Stifler, what did you come today for? My hair looks like I'm 90. Now, I don't know how far she thought 90 was from 89, but she still, at that age, knew that the hair was her glory. She knew that. And it's because your hair is your glory, you need to cover it up. That's why we have the women wearing head coverings as we see them doing that. That's why we practice it. Because no flesh should glory in his presence. So we see her head, and then we see her lips. Take a look at her lips. She warmed his feet with her kisses. So she wept, she washed, she wiped, she warmed. Yes, and the next thing that he was to take a look at was her hands. She worshipped at his feet with the ointment. She used her hands. Yes, here was a woman that he should look at. Well, we're going to continue to look at this woman a little bit next week. My time is gone. But I want us to look at these points. And may it be that we also might be like the woman because we love much. Yes. Because we know that we have been forgiven. That God has forgiven much, that we should love him much. I like that verse. We love him because he first loved us. Let's just close this part in a word of prayer.